us from tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. Oh, sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High.
Right now, it's time for our missions offering. Children, are you ready?
No, not ready.
Children, are you ready? Amen, amen.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed
be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Most High.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh,
blessed
be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Most High.
Assistants wear many hats. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful, and I mentioned earlier, got some of my comments out of the way. there's a minister in the district, pastor's wife, that every time she sees me, she calls me Brother Woodward. But more times than that, and I don't know if to count this as an honor or what, but more times than that, I normally get mistaken to being a Dibble. Amen. And I take that as an honor. Amen. I'm thankful for this family and for all that they've stood for and for all that they've served in every role. It's like if your name's Dibble, that is just, it's just associated with service. Amen. And Brother Andrew has served even when the spotlights weren't on you, and even when you didn't get the credit for it, and I'm thankful for that. And God sees all of that stuff. Amen. And it's so good. And I'm thankful. And I want to pray for Brother Dibble this morning, because he was telling me about some health things that he's going through. So before he comes, church, would you stretch your hands towards Brother Andrew Dibble and pray that the Lord would anoint him? Jesus, right now, God, I'm asking you, Lord, that you'd have your hands, oh Lord, upon this man of God. Lord Jesus, that he would be able to preach your word, Lord God, without fear or favor, Lord Jesus. That, God, the word would come forth, Lord, and find root and take root in our hearts, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for a healing touch, Lord God, and doing everything that needs to be done, Lord Jesus. That, Lord God, you would have your way in him and in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, Brother Dibble, could you come, amen, and speak the word. Give us whatever the Lord has put on your heart, bro.
Thank you, Brother Darren. He's a good friend. It's good to have good friends, right? People that you know you can call and you can count on, and they'll be there for you. Known them a long time. Degrees a long time. It's just a privilege to be here this morning. It's, you know, like he said, you know, I'm a devil. People know my family. People know who we are. It's big shoes to fill, but your pastor's a pretty good man too. You know, like you've got a pretty good pastor that serves in this church and serves you faithfully and willingly. So just, you know, that's just one more pair of big shoes that you get to stand in their pulpit and try to, you know, be filled with. So I, you know, people say it all the time, like, you're a devil, right? And I'm like, what's a great thing to have a heritage like I have? My grandparents, my parents, my aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, serving the Lord, living for him, in the ministry, doing the work of God, and it's great. But it's also a tremendous challenge, because it's, people expect you to step in the pulpit and preach just like your father. Or they expect you to step in the pulpit and preach just like your grandfather, or just like all of those in your family that came before you and ministered the same way. Well, I'm not them.
That's right.
And I don't apologize for that, because God made me to be who I am so he can use me the way that he desires to use me. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. That's what we're going to focus on. So I thank the Lord for all his many blessings. And when they began to sing that song this morning in the very beginning of service, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so so good. You don't know how much that song means to me in my personal life. Sorry, there's a little glare, so I'm just going to fix that. So when I was born, real quick, I'll read the scripture in a minute. When I was born with a congenital heart defect. So they did all kinds of tests on me. My body was turning blue and gray and all different colors. My parents couldn't figure out what was going on. And when I went to the doctors, they said that your son doesn't have a valve, his mitral valve. We can't find it. And people all over the state and all over the country and all over the world began to pray. And I went back to the doctors and they said, well, he does have a mitral valve, but it's just extremely small for what he's supposed to have. And about 8 months later, I had open heart surgery, and they repaired it and put a plastic valve. The doctors gave me, from the point of diagnosis, the doctors gave me about probably a 25% chance to survive to getting old enough to have the surgery. And then when they have the surgery, they gave me probably about a 25 or a 50% chance to live to 2 years old. Well, I'm 38 years old, and I'm standing here serving the Lord. God is good. God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. So I can sing that song and say, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm going to sing in praise of the goodness of God in my life. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. I'm reading from the New Living Translation because, unlike many of you, I'm not the smartest of people. And sometimes the older language, I don't understand what they're saying. I like to read from this version. It just makes it a little more understandable to me. It says, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden from the people who are perishing. What does that mean? It means if I don't take the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring it out to the rest of the world, then the only people that are ever going to be saved are us that are in here, this building today. So if I don't share the gospel that God has given me, this truth, this salvation, this love, and bring it outside the doors of the church, what good is it? We already know. We already have his power and his spirit. But if I hide it behind a veil so no one can see it, what good is it doing for the rest of the world? Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. That doesn't say that we ourselves are the servants of God only. It says we are your servants. We are the servants of those who don't know God. We are put on this earth, yes, number one, to serve God, but also to serve others. We don't preach this gospel for our own benefit. We preach it for those who we serve. For the God who said, "Let there be light in darkness," has made the light to shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile jars of clay containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not ourselves. For just a few moments this morning, I'd like to talk to us from the subject, the value in the vessel. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us today, God. I thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings to me, Lord, for all that you've done for your people. We pray, God, that you would bless us and minister to us today in this place. Speak to us through your word. Let it be anointed. Let it be powerful, Lord, because it is the word of God coming from you. And we give you all the praise and the glory. God, I pray right now that you'd begin to minister from heart to heart, from person to person, from life to life in this place. Let the power and the anointing of your spirit begin to flow, begin to move, begin to work, God, Lord, so that healing and restoration and the divine move of the Holy Ghost can take place in this building today, oh God. And we give you all the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to talk briefly this morning about a couple different types of vessels. When you think the word vessel, what do you think of? Something that contains. What else? Ship. That's what I was going for. When you think of a vessel, you know, I think of sometimes, I mean, so I think of this, a ship. A big ship, a big mess, and it does contain things. It brings it from place to place. You know, it's our water transportation method of any kind of vessel, really. A vessel, in today's terminology, is more geared towards ships or modes of transportation. But the human body or the earthly vessel that we have is just a temporary transportation or a temporary mode of us surviving in this earth that we are in but not of. It is a temporary vessel for my soul. You see, your spirit is eternal and will last forever. But the earthly body that we are currently in is simply a vessel to house, transport, and sustain your spirit until your eternity begins. And we oftentimes in our lives get more caught up in the flesh and the physical things of life. And we forget about the spiritual because our focus is on the physical nature. But I want to point out today that just how important the spiritual nature is in our lives. Because the spirit is actually subject to hurt because of the physical. And the physical is suffered to hurt because of the spiritual. But my spirit can be injured, wounded, and hurt by things I do in my life. Like drinking, partying, drugs, relationships, attitude, anger, Thou, all of these things, that they're emotional and physical things of my life, but they affect my spiritual life. If you think that going out on Friday night and getting drunk doesn't affect your spiritual life because you're just going to come to church on Sunday morning and get it right with God, you're wrong. Because what if the trumpet sounds on Saturday morning before you get to church on Sunday morning? You see, the physical things we do in life have an impact on my eternity, my spirit, my soul, my where will I spend forever? We can get so caught up in the physical that we forget about the spiritual. But today I want to liken us as human vessels, as humans, to vessels. We're like vehicles that move around, like I said. But let me read verse 7 2 Corinthians 4 and 1. Let me read verse 7 in the King James Version. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, it says I have this treasure in the vessel. The vessel is not the treasure. It's what's inside of the vessel that is the treasure. My physical body, who I am, is not the treasure, but it's what inside of me that matters. It is my spirit that will live somewhere for eternity. And it is the spirit and the power of God that is inside of me. That is what matters. It is the excellency of the power of God that is in me. And not of me. His spirit is the treasure that is inside of the vessel. The Holy Ghost is the treasure that is inside of the vessel. What about a pottery vessel? So the Bible speaks of our God as being the potter. We sing the song all the time, right? Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. He's the potter, I'm the clay. He's the molder, I'm the vessel. He's the one that makes me, I'm the one that he creates. The vessel, the pot, is what holds and houses the Spirit of God. Sometimes vessels break. Sometimes vessels need repair and need to be fixed. And the God who is the master potter can come down to the vessel that is broken and can reshape it and can remold it and can remake it to be something better even than it was before. You see, once the vessel is broken, it must be tried by the fire in order to be able to be mended and fixed again. But I'm thankful that I know the God that distributes the fire of the Holy Ghost. And at times that I'm broken, and at times that I'm shattered, and at times that the situations of life has got me down, the fire of the Holy Ghost can come and remake me to what God has designed for me to be. I'm thankful that I am his vessel. We read in the scripture about the Ark of the Covenant. Who's ever heard of the Ark of the Covenant? Sorry, I'm kind of a group participation preacher. So someone tell me, what is the Ark of the Covenant? That's exactly what I was looking for. The Ark of the Covenant houses the presence of God. Does anybody know what was in the ark? The tablets of stone, you know, all those different things that were in the ark, right? It was all there. See, the law of God is the essence of who God is. So, I mean, that was in the ark. But the Spirit of God was also in the ark. I'm reminded of a story. Before that, let me just say what the Ark of the Covenant was. It was simply wood and gold and brass. Things of this life that aren't really worth very much, right? That's what the ark was. But what was in the ark was what mattered. So I'm reminded of a story. Anybody ever hear about the time that Israel lost the Ark of the Covenant? You did. I'm going to take my coat off. I'm a little warm, if you don't mind. Remember the time that they lost the Ark of the Covenant? Who got it? The Philistines. What did they do with it? They tried to take it away. So I remember a story in, remember the verse? I just looked it up and I don't remember. But they had the Ark of the Covenant, right? And they brought it in and they left it in their worship temple. They left it right before their god, Dagon. And what happened? They went out. They had a big old party. They got drunk. They began worshiping their gods. They began doing their worldly things and all the things they were doing. And the next morning, when they woke up, they went back to recover the ark, and they found Dagon had fallen down. Like, okay, this is weird. Somebody probably snuck in here and just, you know, put him down on the ground. So here we go. We're going to pick him back up, and then we're going to go do our thing. They did the same thing the next day. Partied, had a grand old time. They came back in the next day, and they found Dagon fallen on the ground, shattered and broken, and they could not put him. Poor little Humpty Dumpty could not be put back together again. Why? Because what was inside the ark was the power and the anointing of God. And when you try to put the power and the anointing of God up against the things of the world that you want to try to worship in His place, they will fall, they will break, they will be destroyed, because the power is inside the ark. The power was inside the vessel. It was the power of God. And it was greater than any worldly god you could ever come and find. We serve our own types of gods today. Unfortunately, the god of gold is still around, right? We don't have a golden calf like what Israel made to serve, but we lust after money. We desire after money. It is kind of important, though, right? Like, you do kind of need money. How many of you like to eat? I mean, it's obvious that I like to eat. I enjoy food, you know. I need food. Even if it's not good food, I still need it, right? You know? So I don't understand how people can be vegetarians. Not picking on you if you are, but I need some food. I need some meat. I like to eat. And in order to eat, I need money. How many of you work a job? How do you get to that job? Transportation, whether you drive or you take the bus or you take an Uber or you ride a bike. I guess even if you walk, but even if you walk, you need to put shoes on your feet so that you don't tear up your feet while you're walking around. You need money to survive. I need money to get to the place where I can make the money to have the money that I need to survive. I need money. You need it. It's important. And so many times, because it's so important in this world, because it is so necessary for our survival, even just to buy food to eat, we put more importance into the money and to the things of the world that we need to survive. And unfortunately, they can become gods in our lives. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm taking my wallet down, putting it down and saying, "Oh, wallet, you're so great." You know, I'm not opening it up and taking out my debit card and going, "Oh," you know, I don't do that. But if I don't have enough money, I may be tempted to say, "I'm not going to give to the Lord this week because I need that for something else that I'm going to do." You see, I have a Yankees game planned in next week, so if I pay my tithes, I can't really do that. Well, I could pay my tithes, but if I give in that special offering, I can't do what I want to do. That means that we're making something more important to me than God. And if I make something more important to me than God, then I am in essence worshiping something else over him. Not instead of him, because I still worship him, but over him. It is possible to worship God and the things of this world. But what's that going to do to you? The Bible says if you worship God and mammon, God and money, God and the things of the world, you're either hot or cold, or I'll spew you out of my mouth. You try to be both, forget it. You're done. You know, even if you're cold and you don't worship God at all, you have a better chance of him coming and finding you and making it to heaven. Because he wants us to make him the top priority and let him provide for all of the other things that are necessary and priority in our life. Sorry, we got off topic for a second. Got to get back. Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 and 14. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The potter has taken his time on me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. You see, I really am nobody. I'm not very good. I'm not very great. Like I said, I'm not the youngest, but maybe one of the lowest of the line of great men and women that have served God faithfully all of their lives and for so long. I'm really a nobody. But I told God a long time ago, I'm not very great. I don't have a lot of talent. I'm not the best singer. I'm not the best preacher. I'm not the best at everything. But whatever I have, if you can use it, go ahead and use it. If you can do something small through me, it's better than doing nothing and then not being able to be used of God in any way. So, Lord, go ahead and use me. Brother Darren's right. I do know what it's like to just serve. To serve and never be the one that's in the spotlight, never be the one that's in charge. I spent many years on the Sunday school committee, never worked as the leader of the Sunday school. I spent many years on the youth committee, you know, and many times I felt like I deserved to be in the spotlight and to be the one that gets elected into office and gets to run things. Because I think in my mind, I'm the one doing all the work behind the scenes anyway, so might as well be the one. But it never happened. I spent a few years in the men's department because our men's ministry coordinator was sick, and I pretty much ran it. And then come to find out, I'm not even licensed high enough to be eligible to run this department. So when it came to it, I can't do it. But you know what? It's been a privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I will continue to serve in whatever capacity I am asked to or allowed to do it. Why? Because it's the treasure that is in me. I'm not really worth that much. He's worth it. And if I'm working for him, he's the one that deserves to get the credit anyways. So what does it matter if I get any glory or any credit for anything that I've done? Because he's the one that really did it anyways. Not me. We're really not all that great. But, I look at the beginning of verse 14. Why am I praising him? Not because I'm the youth president. Not because I'm the district superintendent of the District of Connecticut. Not because I'm the preacher that gets to stand up in the pulpit and bring the word of God every once in a while. I will praise thee. Because thou art the potter, and I am the vessel. I will praise thee because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I may be a vessel that's smaller than all the other big vessels that do great things for the kingdom of God. But Lord, whatever I can hold, go ahead and pour it in me. Because I might make the smallest vessel out of all the others, but Lord, I'm a willing vessel. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You made me and gave me what you thought I could handle, what you thought I could succeed with, and I'm going to give you all that I have. Because I may not be great, but I am just a vessel. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verses 1 through 7. I'm not gonna read it. I'm just going to talk about it for a few minutes. Anybody know what the scripture is? Well, maybe you do, because they just put it up on the screen. Great job, though, bro. He's faster than me. He got it before I did. Anybody know what this is? Sister, did you have your hand up? No? Nobody knows? But without Googling it or without getting it up on your phone or scrolling in, this is the story of the woman who she came to Elisha, and she said, "Hey, my husband just died." Now, my husband was a part of the ministry. My husband was one of the prophets. So basically, she'd be coming to the district superintendent and saying, "My husband just died. What can you do for me?" That's what she was doing. And she said, I have a lot of needs. I have a lot of debts. I have a lot of things that I need to pay off, and I can't do it. How can you help me?" And he said, "Well," now, this, if I was Elijah, this would be me, right? I'd be like, "This woman's looking for a handout. This woman's looking for a miracle, and she needs it because her husband was a faithful man of God, and they served the Lord faithfully, so I'm going to help her." But, you see, many times we come to God looking for something. He says, "I'm going to give it to you, but you're going to have to work for it. I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to require something of you in return." So he told her, "Borrow vessels, not a few." So to me, that means go out and borrow as many vessels as you can. Now, vessels, we mean pots, pans, you know, things that you can hold stuff in. That's what they called vessels, right? You know, go out and get as many flower vases as you can, or as many, you know, whatever. Go out and get it. So her and her two sons went out and they got vessels and they brought them in. So many that their whole house was full. Now, I don't know how big their house was, but for most of us, that's a bedroom at least, a living room, maybe a dining room, kitchen, bathroom. That's probably 4 or 5 rooms. And if you got family and kids, you got 3 more bedrooms, and you got the basement. And you get, so her house was full to capacity. So she filled it up, closed the door. And she had told Elisha, "All I have is a cruse of oil. That's all I have." Now, I have faith in God, but I guarantee you that I can't get 100 vessels and then fill them all up with this water today. Unless God led me to do it in direction, it could be happen, but he doesn't give me that direction. So it's not going to happen. We're not even going to try. But that's what happened. She took that cruse of oil, and she began to pour. Until the first vessel was full. Still the same amount of water. So she went on to the next one. Said, "This is cool." Began to pour. I imagine about the 5th or the 6th or vessel, she's like, "Come on, bring me another one. Bring me another one. Bring me another one. I need another one. Let's do more, more, more." And finally, for the last one, she went looking around and like, "That's it? I only filled 175. She took those vessels and God filled them up. But here's the good part of the miracle. That's cool. That's awesome, right? But now she had more work to do. She had to go out. He said, "Go and sell that oil. And you can pay off all your debt. And you and your sons can live off of what's left." And she took those same vessels And imagine, Sister Alyssa, I borrow a big vessel, a big pot from you, and I bring it back over, and I put it on your table, and I say, that's going to cost you $200. It's a $5 pot. That's 40 times what I gave you. Like, yeah, but look inside. That's the best oil you're going to find this side of the Mississippi. That's the best oil you're ever going to, you're going to cook with that oil. You're going to do stuff with that oil, and it's going to be better than anything you've ever had before. You see, she took the same vessels and sold them back to the same people that she borrowed them from, and she just borrowed it and 40 times any investment she could have made. That's the way my God works. But you see, the vessels she had borrowed were worth very little. But what was inside of those vessels afterwards was worth enough for her and her sons to pay off all the debt and to live off of what was left over. You see, what's inside of me as the vessel of God is way more valuable than what is outside of who I am. By myself, I'm a nobody. By myself, I'm nothing. By myself, I can't do very much. But when the power of the Holy Ghost gets inserted into a willing vessel, there is no telling what God can begin to do in, to, and through that person that allows themselves to be used as a vessel for the King. God helps us to be what we need to be in His kingdom. The last type of vessels I want to talk about quickly tonight are blood vessels. Now, I know Sister Alyssa's a nurse. Is there any other nurses or doctors or anyone in the house? Good. You don't get mad at me. I'm going to talk to you about vessels from Google's perspective, because that's what Google told me vessels do in the body. A blood vessel carries blood and oxygen and whatever else through the body. It is a part of your body that brings needed things through it to everything. So the blood pumps from your heart, and then it gets up to your brain, and it gets to the fingers. It goes through all the vessels. The oxygen you need, the blood you need, everything flows through the body. So the type of vessel we want to be, number one, we want to be moldable, pliable, usable for the kingdom of God. But also, I need to be a vessel that allows the Spirit of God to flow through me to minister to the rest of the body. Yes, I must be about my Father's business. As we read in the first scripture this morning, I must not take the word of God and just keep it right here and hide it. We need to be a vessel that when we go out into the world, God can tip me over and begin to pour and begin to water all of the seeds that He's planted all around me. And then the entire city can come in and really get changed and blessed with God. I need to be a vessel in that way. But another type of vessel that I am responsible to be is I am a part of the body of Christ. I won't take the time to read it today, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 tells us that the human body is made up of many parts. And all of those parts come together to become a whole. And every single part of that body is integral, whether you're the head or you're the baby toe on one of the feet. You're integral to the kingdom of God. You might be the intestines or the liver or the part that no one wants to talk about, but you're important to the kingdom of God. Our bodies are made up of many parts, just as the body of Christ is made up of many parts. And if I decide that I don't want to serve God in the capacity that He's chosen me to serve, what happens? There's an issue in the body. Sister Alyssa, what happens when the vessels cease to flow? It cuts off. It's called the clot. You see, if I decide that I don't want to do the work of God, and I'm the elbow right here. Well, when the blood pumps from the heart and gets to the elbow, it's going to clot right there. So all of you as the fingers and the hand can't get the presence of God, can't get what they need. The body can't function properly if I decide I don't want to do what God has called me to do because I'm causing a clot to form in the body. I'm causing a bruise to form in the body. I'm causing something that is out of the ordinary in order for the body to function and move the way that it is designed to move. And I would be the one hindering all of you from the blessings, the anointing, and the power of God. Now, he can either fix me if I let him, or he can remove me if that's what needs to be done. But if I cause the problem, God's got to fix it. Let me tell you today, you are an integral and a vital and an important part in the body of Christ. You are someone that has a purpose, a plan, and God has designed something for your life as a part of the body of Christ. Let's stand together this morning. I know I've preached, maybe it's quicker than you're used to, maybe it's normal, I don't know. But I don't think God brought me here just to preach to us today. I have been feeling deeply since last night in my spirit that God wants to minister to someone. You see, a lot of people can stand in a pulpit and preach because it's the word of God. Because your Bible and my Bible is the same, and anybody can go in there and get a scripture from the Bible and it can make sense and God can give you a word and you can stand there and do it. But I believe God wants to minister to us today. You see, when a member of the body is bruised, God needs to use the rest of the body to facilitate healing to that member. God needs to use you to flow through in order for him to reach that member. You see, if the bruise comes in the foot, the heart that pumps the blood is all the way up here. So it requires for the rest of the body to allow the Spirit of God to flow through them and to minister one to another. In order for you to get the healing you need, I, as another member of the body, need to come up alongside you and take you up and say, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray to God together. Let's allow the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God to move upon both of us so you can get the healing that you need. When your brother or sister is hurt, it causes a bruise in the body. When your brother or sister is broken, it causes a clot or a bruise to form upon the body. And in order for them to be healed, they need me. They need you. We need each other. I am more than just a vessel for God to use outside, but I am also a vessel for God to flow through so the body can be strong, so the body can be powerful, so the body can work the way that God has designed and planned for it to work. Let me quickly tell you about Joseph. Joseph was a man that was broken. Joseph was a godly man. Joseph was a good man. Joseph was, from the time of his birth, someone that said, I'm going to serve the Lord. And he served the Lord with dignity. And he served the Lord with passion. And God gave Joseph dreams. And in those dreams, it involved other members of the body. Other members of the family were going to come to Joseph and recognize, hey, bro, you're the head. Hey, bro, you're more important than I am. And in the dreams, it was his brothers were going to bow before Joseph. And let's, you know, the end of the story. Most of you, it does happen. But the dreams that came to him, his brothers got angry. We must be very careful not to sow discord among the body. And we must be very careful that if God begins to bless and raise up someone else in the body, that we don't get jealous and pull them back down. That we don't get jealous and say, who are you to be raised up in the body? I'm older than you. You're the youngest, brother. Just because your dad's favorite, that's the attitude they got. And they as the body, they as the family, rose up against their brother and threw him in a pit. They then were going to leave him there to die, but they saw a group of people who sold slaves coming by, and they took their brother and they sold him into slavery. And they took the coat that their father Jacob had given him. They ripped it up. They killed an animal and put the blood of the animal all over the coat and brought it back to their dad Jacob and said, he's been killed, Dad. Joseph's gone. Joseph's dead. And in my mind, and if it was me, bitterness probably would have crept into me. Anger would have probably crept into me. I'd probably be a little mad at my family, at my brothers, for what they did to me. But you see, Joseph just kept serving the Lord. Joseph just kept being faithful. Joseph just kept on saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Joseph just kept on saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Joseph just kept on saying, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And in slavery, Joseph served God. And when he was forced to work, Joseph was faithful. And when he was thrown in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Anyone ever been accused of something that you didn't do and have it destroy your life? Joseph was thrown into prison for a crime that he did not even commit. The Potiphar's wife came to him and tried to get him to have an affair with her. And he said, no, I'm going to be faithful to God. I don't care how beautiful you are. I don't care how no one else would know. I'm going to do what's right in the eyes of God. And they got him wrongfully thrown into prison. But when that happened, he again began to interpret dreams. He interpreted dreams of two men in the prison. And then his agreement with them was, once you get out of here, tell the king. So the butler got out and he went to the king and he didn't say a word. Man left him in the dust, left him rotting in the prison. But a little while later, Pharaoh had a dream. And no one could interpret the dream. But the butler said, I remember a man. Hey, there's a vessel in the jail that can interpret the dreams through the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Get him up here. And Joseph interpreted his dreams. He became second in command. And throughout a famine, God used Joseph to save all of Egypt. But the plan wasn't for Egypt. The plan was for the body of Christ. The plan was for the family of Joseph. The world got to be blessed because of the body of Christ. And the world is going to get to be blessed because of an apostolic church that is here in this town. And God is saying to someone today, he has prepared a way for you to be able to save their souls. They brought the brothers of Joseph to him. And what happened? All of his brothers that were there, except Benjamin, 10 of the 11, they bowed at the feet of Joseph. And all those years before, Joseph remembered all those years back where the Lord said, your family is going to bow before you. It was a prophecy. Joseph didn't realize it at the time, but it was a prophecy not about how great Joseph was, but about how God loves the family of God, about how God desires to work in the family of God. And all those years later is when God brought Jacob's family together to Egypt. They bowed before Joseph. He sent them back and they brought them back. But eventually, he told all his brothers, guys, it's me. And what happened when Joseph told him? You see, the guilt that was weighing down his brothers was killing them. And the pain that was deep inside of Joseph was killing him. But oh, when the body of Christ comes together and begins to allow the Spirit of God to flow, all the old hurt, all the old pain, all the old shame, all of everything that you're dealing with, all the bruises, all the brokenness, all the shatteredness of life begins to be healed when the body of Christ comes together. I want to end this service a little differently. I'd like you all to come to the front. If you don't want to come, that's up to you. But I feel that God wants to minister to us as a body of Christ. I'm usually terrible at ending a message. I'll be honest. Sometimes I can preach a good message. But then when it comes to the end, everyone's just kind of looking around like, what's going on? I know how to put together a message, but in the 15 years I've been preaching, I still haven't learned how to end one. But today I feel that I have direction from the Lord. And we, as the body of Christ, are going to lift some things up in prayer. And God is going to do something in this house. God is going to restore some brokenness in this house. God is going to heal some bruises that have been inflicted upon the body in this house this morning. Because He is here. He adaye kiro toho yasa. He adaye kiro dororo shata. Hey, God, Lord, even right now, before we begin what you pray for, let the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost begin to move, God. He under the yes, under the low shata. He under the yak, yasata. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I want to do one more thing. I want all the brothers, all the men in the church come to this side. And all the women in the church come to this side. I know many times we like to pray with our families. We like to pray with those that are here. But I think we need each other today. And we need each other in a little more of an intimate way than normal. And I want us to pray together. The first thing we're going to pray for today. I think we have an opportunity to be a vessel. For God to flow through us one to another. So first I want to take a few minutes and allow God to minister. We are going to pray for your pastor yes. and his wife.
Yes, yes.
They are the leaders of the body.
Jesus.
They are the head of the body. But in order for healing to come all the way up, it must flow through the body. And I'm going to ask that you would bind together, either hold the hand or put your arm around the person that's next to you. And together, as a body of Christ, we are going to go to the Lord for strength and for healing and for peace and for joy. You don't tell me that joy can't come in the morning time. I mean, M-O-U-R-N, morning period. There is joy in the midst of sorrow because the scripture says, for when I am weak, then I am strong in the Lord. Lord, we pray today, God, that you will touch the Greeleys. Let the power and the anointing of God begin to flow through their body. And let it begin to touch. Let it begin to deliver. Let it begin to bring joy and begin to bring peace today, oh God. Come on, church. This is your pastor and his wife you're praying for. This isn't someone that you don't know. This is the one that he cries out on his knees for you. This is the one that she spends hours a week pouring over you. Let's begin to call out on the Lord for them today.
In the time of trouble, in the time of need, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to give us strength.
God, we'd be nowhere without the pastor. This church wouldn't exist without the Greeleys, Lord. This church wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all of their sacrifice. And we pray, oh God, that the power of the Holy Ghost will begin to bring peace into their minds, begin to bring peace into their hearts, begin to bring peace into their lives. God, touch their children, God. Touch their grandchildren, oh God. Lord, let the joy of the Holy Ghost sweep in and be the strength that they need to get through this time, oh God.
You are her glory. In the lifting up her hand, of strength, Lamb of God. Remember, Sister Greeley, the special way, Lamb of God. In the past, the Lamb of God. Remember, Alyssa, Lamb of God. Remember the
past. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for a man and a woman that will stand in the gap for a body of believers. But today, we stand in the gap for them, oh God, for all the times that they've sacrificed of themselves, for all the times that they've given of themselves, oh God. Today, we stand in the gap for them. God, let the healing of your spirit flow through your body, God. Let the healing of your spirit flow through your body right now, oh God. Let the peace of the Holy Ghost flow through your body, oh God. God, we're not satisfied till you bless them, Lord. We're not satisfied, Lord, till you touch them. Till you move in their lives, oh God. God, bring peace that only you can bring. Bring joy that only you can bring. Bring comfort that only you can bring today, oh God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus.
In the name of God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lamb of God. In the name of Jesus, only you know, Lamb of God. Only you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We give you thanks, Lamb of
God.
God,
I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus.
Comfort your family, Lamb of God.
Hey, God, Lord, let your peace flow, God. Let your healing flow, God. Let your joy flow, God. Oh, God, heal this body that's been damaged today, oh, God. Work, I pray, Jesus. Move, I pray, oh, God. In the power of your spirit, Jesus. And God, we thank you for it. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it today, oh God. I praise your wonderful name, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I worship to the Lord. The next thing I'd like to pray for. If you are feeling hurt. If you are feeling broken. If you are feeling bruised. Like the enemy's been beating you up. It's not because you're a sinner. It's not because you're no good. In fact, it's probably the opposite. Because you're trying to live for the Lord. The enemy's going to do everything he can to attack you, to destroy you, to pull you down, to tear you out of the body of Christ and take away one of the members that God uses to flow through. If you've been going through something, just lift up your hand. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Just lift up your hand. Now we, as the body of Christ, look at those hands that are lifted. Look at those hands that are raised. It's a lot of them, but let's come together with them. Let's begin to bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray for peace, for healing, for joy. Come on, come together. Find someone with their hand up and begin to pray. Come on, men. Begin to pray.
There's strength and there's power when we pray one for another. There's strength and there's healing when we pray one for another. Let healing virtue flow right now, God. Lord, we came with a problem, but we're going to leave, God, with the peace of the Holy Ghost in our mind. The car trouble might still be there. The sickness might still be there. The circumstance might still be there. But oh, the peace that comes from the body of Christ. Oh, the joy that comes from the body of Christ. When we allow ourselves to be a vessel that pours one into another. Oh, let the power of the Holy Ghost flow. Let the power of the Holy Ghost flow. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Heal the bruises. Heal the hurt. Heal the brokenness. Restore, oh God, what the devil has tried to destroy. I pray it in the name of Jesus. It is not through our power, but it is the power of the Holy Ghost that flows within us today. Oh, let healing flow, God. Lord, heal the bruise. Heal the shatteredness. Heal the brokenness. Lord, relieve the doubt, oh God. Relieve the fear, oh God. Relieve the pain, oh God. Relieve anxiety, oh God. Lord, let the sweet peace of the Holy Ghost begin to flow one to another today. Oh, we believe in your power. We believe in your power. We believe in your power, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I don't want to embarrass him, but Brother Andre, a couple of others, come pray for my brother right here. Come pray for my brother. Let the Holy Ghost flow. Let the Holy Ghost flow. He under the yes, under the yay, kirotosha. He under the yay, he under the losata. God, let the power of your spirit. I bless the Lord. We came today needing a healing, but we're leaving filled with the power of the healer. I came today needing deliverance, but I come leaving knowing the deliverer in my life. I came needing a change, but I'm leaving knowing I've been changed by the Almighty in my life today. He under the Sandarayasa. He under the Santa. Oh, I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. I magnify you. Lord, I worship you, O God. I worship you, O God. I worship you, O God. I magnify you, Lord. I lift up your great name today, God. is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, lastly, before we dismiss, lastly today, before we leave this place, as the body of Christ, lift up your hands and begin to praise and magnify the name of the Lord, the one who has done the work, the one that has brought the healing, the one that has brought the joy, the one that has imparted peace into our lives. We praise you, O God. We magnify you, our Father. We magnify you, our Savior. Lord, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I praise you, Lord, because your power that is in me, Lord. I praise you, God, because you have chosen to allow me to be a vessel for your kingdom, O God. Lord, I bless you, Jesus. I bless you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your healing, God. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing, God. God, I thank you, Lord, for this body that is here. I thank you, Lord, for this group of brothers and sisters. God, I pray that you would begin to divinely ordain them today, God, that when they leave this place, vessels for the kingdom of God, that you would begin to pour out of them across all that they would come in contact with. And that revival will begin to be in this house, Lord. That revival will begin to flow through this church, because when we unite together as one body and allow the Spirit of God to flow, it will flow out of us and begin to minister to others, oh God. I pray that you would bless this body, that you would touch them, strengthen them, Lord. Grow them closer together, God. Heal any discord. Heal any bruises. Heal any shatteredness, so that they can be one body, united under their pastor for the work and the kingdom of God. And we thank you for it, Jesus. I thank you for it, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We magnify you, O God. Lift up your holy name, Jesus. You are great. You are great. You are great. You are great, Lord, and greatly to be praised. I worship you, O God. I magnify your name, O Lord. I lift you up and give you glory and honor and praise today, my God. Yay, God, I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I worship you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. The treasure is what is in the vessel. I'm thankful for the treasure of the Holy Ghost that we have today. I'm thankful for the treasure of His Spirit that we feel in this place today. I'm thankful for the power, for the move of God in the way that He can move. We couldn't have designed, ordained, or planned this any differently, because this was designed, ordained, and planned by the Almighty God. And I thank the Lord for His moving today. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take what we've heard today, apply it to ourselves, oh God, to just be a willing vessel, Lord, for the kingdom of God, for the work of God, Lord, that you can use for your glory today, Jesus. I worship you, oh Lord, and magnify you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord.
I'm going to ask Brother Andre if you would come and pray us in dismissal.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, with Brother Andy Dibble. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask you to go with us, oh Lord Jesus, with the word being willing vessels and noble vessels to your use. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Remember, tomorrow night is prayer night, 7 o'clock here. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.